Hello and welcome to the Book Launch Show. This is Tim Grawl. And this week, Valerie and I talk about numbers in book sales. So there's these different numbers if you hang around book marketing or book publishing long enough that you'll hear a lot, right? So there's your first 10 readers, your first 100 readers, 1,000, and then 10,000. And, you know, my first book was titled Your First 1,000 Copies. And so Valerie opens with basically asking me, like, where do these numbers come from and why are they important? So we spend a lot of time talking about that and why they're there and why they exist and where they've come from. And it's really good. You know, as we kind of come to in the episode, it becomes these markers of how you're doing with book marketing. And I think that's really important because it can feel overwhelming. It can feel slow. You know, book marketing in general is a long, slow slog that takes a while to see results. You know, one of the things in a blog post I wrote about recently is it takes about a year for your book marketing efforts to really pay off. And I tell a story about the book, The One Thing, and how the author, you know, worked his ass off for a year before he really saw the numbers start turning around. And so it's a really great episode. I think you'll enjoy it. And I think it'll be helpful for you to get a glimpse into, you know, where these numbers come from, why they're important, and how you can use those when you're thinking about getting your own book out into the world. I also want to mention that a lot of you email me a lot about wanting some help with your book launch or your book marketing or building your platform. And I'm not doing that as much anymore. And the reason is because I have trained a lot of really smart, really expert book marketing professionals that can help you with that stuff. So if you go to booklaunch.com/coaching, there is a list of really smart, really savvy certified book launch coaches. These are people that went through a ton of training, came to Nashville, spent a lot of time with me getting trained here in Nashville, continue their training, and they're really smart people, really savvy people that have experience and can help you with your book marketing and book launching. So if you are looking for some help with that, I would definitely go to booklaunch.com/coaching and check out them. You can either reach out to one of them, or you can just shoot us a note and we will connect you with one that's right for you. So thanks for looking at that. And we're going to go ahead and jump into this week's episode that's all about the numbers of book marketing.
Welcome to the Book Launch Podcast, helping authors launch and market their books.
Hey, Tim, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretty good, thank you. I'm just about finished my Dracula analysis, so I'm feeling pretty. I'm feeling pretty peppy.
Finishing that big project, I'm sure that feels good.
Yeah, next time I'm picking a novella. I'm not picking a big behemoth. As I was working this week, and I pulled out my copy of Your First 1,000 Copies again, I had a question. Why 1,000 copies? I can't believe that I've not asked you this before, because I've heard a couple of different variations.
Okay.
When we did the love story workshop through StoryGrid and Seth Godin came and spoke with us, he talked about 10 copies and he talked about 100 copies. You talk about 1,000 copies, and I've heard Sean Coyne talk about 10,000 copies. Mm-hmm. So why are these numbers magic and why are these the things that we need to go for?
I don't remember what Seth said about 10 copies.
He was saying that, well, to give your book to 10 people and see if, you know, if you just give part of your book, like the first chapter to 10 people and see if they ask for more.
Yes.
And if they don't, go back to the drawing board.
Right.
If they do, you might be onto something.
Yes.
And then he said to see if you can get 100 people interested in it. I think he was breaking it down into the smallest possible unit so as not to overwhelm us all completely.
Yeah. So there's some interesting numbers that pop up across the board. So there's this kind of round number of 250. What you see if you look at the data is that most books sell 250 copies in their first year. whether they're traditionally published or self-published. Everybody thinks the numbers will be different. They're about the same. And the reason for that is we all know about 250 people or are connected to about 250 people. So if we just kind of promote our book to the people we know, social media, friends, family, colleagues, you know, all that kind of stuff, you can usually sell about 250 copies of your book. So what Seth was talking about is more on the front end of writing the book and creating kind of your first little, like, should I keep writing? Is this interesting? And what I'm talking about is once the book is out. So if you sell 1,000 copies of your book, you've done something interesting, which is you've gotten about 750 people that don't know you to buy a copy of your book. So they are under no obligation whatsoever to buy a copy of your book, and yet they did. And so what that means is you have figured something out. You're doing something to convince strangers to buy your book. Because, again, if I come out with a book and I just promote it to the people I'm directly connected to, kind of the easy people, I can get to about, you know, a couple hundred copies, and then it'll fizzle out and you won't be able to sell anymore. And this is the people that you see posting on Facebook over and over and over and over about their book, because that's where they got their initial sales. But now that doesn't work anymore because those people have either bought the book or decided not to buy the book. Where, again, once you hit 1,000, you've done something, right? So this is where you've started going on podcasts, or you've spoken somewhere, or you've gotten somebody to review your book, or you've done something to break out of your initial sphere of influence. So that's why 1,000 copies is really important. Because if you can figure out how to sell 1,000 copies, you have figured out how to get strangers to buy your book. And now you just got to keep doing that in order to continue to grow. Like, for me, what I've seen is it's actually harder to sell your first 1,000 than to sell your next 9,000. Because if you get to 1,000 copies, you mostly just need to, even if you just keep doing whatever you were doing to build your audience or get in front of enough people to sell 1,000 copies, you just can keep doing that. Like, so let's say you get a BookBub and you sell 1,000 copies in one day. And then you just keep doing different forms of advertising and price promotions, you could probably get to 10,000 copies. So I find that getting over that initial hump of getting 750 strangers to buy your book is often the hardest. Now, the number 10,000 is, so it was one of those numbers that I heard several times in the publishing world of, like, that's, it's weird. So it's, I heard it in different places. So, like, one guy I knew, so in the Christian world, there's Lifeway Christian bookstores. It's this chain of Christian bookstores that are across the country, and they have their own publishing house. And they're one of the few publishing houses that actually own the audience that they're selling their books to, which is one of the things we've talked about before. And so a friend of mine got basically hired to write this marriage book. And when he got hired, they said, we will sell 10,000 copies of this book in the first year. And they ended up selling like 10,100 copies. Like, they knew exactly how many books they would be able to sell. So that's one way I found it. But I've heard it several times where it's like, if you get a traditional publishing deal, they want you to be able to sell at least 10,000 copies of your book. Now, if you got some huge advance, they're expecting a whole lot more than that. But if you just get kind of a run-of-the-mill, you know, publishing deal, that's the number they're looking for, is they want you to hit 10,000 copies. But I had never understood where that number came from or why it was important until Sean explained it to me. And he does some kind of reductionist math on, like, there's 350 million people in the United States, and here's the percentage of those people that are readers, and then here's the percentage of those people, and da 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 da. But the basic idea is, if you can get 10,000 people to read your book and give it a try, you will then find out if your book is going to make it or not. So if 10,000 people read it, that's all you need to make the book keep selling without you ever doing anything. Now, if 10,000 people give it a try and they don't really like it or it wasn't all that interesting, your book's going to die. But if you get 10,000 people to read it and give it a try, that's all you need to start the word of mouth engine. And your book will keep selling for a long time automatically. So the interesting thing about books is they have a longer shelf life than the majority of the medium, than, you know, movies or music in general. They have a longer shelf life. They age better, but they also market slower. So, you know, the new Marvel movie's about to come out and everybody's going to go see it on opening weekend. And then a year from now, nobody will be watching that movie. Where with books, in most cases, unless it's written by a celebrity or something, it starts out slow, builds over time, and you really don't see a lot of your marketing doesn't pay off for about a year. It just takes a long time because what happens is people buy your book and they set it. I mean, I've already had this happen where like, okay, one of the first people I gave my book to was John Acuff. And it wasn't till 6 months later that he read it and started posting about it because he liked it so much. But it just took that long, right? Because he's, you know, he's a busy guy. He probably gets sent books by everybody. And so mine was just in a stack and it took a while to get down to my spot in the stack. And so that's how books work. So your job is to get 10,000 people to give your book a try, to read your book. My goal would be to sell 10,000 copies. And if you can pull that off, the book will probably keep selling long into the future, right? So like your first 1,000 copies, I haven't touched that book in 6 years. I have not actively promoted it in 5. And it just keeps every day I sell copies of that book. Because I think of it like a rocket launch. Like if you stop promoting your book at 3,000 copies, it's going to crash no matter what happens. If only 3,000 people ever give your book a try, that's not enough to get it out of orbit, to really get it up. Now, once you get it up, and now in Sean and Steve's opinion, once you've, your job is to get 10,000 people to read it, and then your job is done. And at that point, it's just up to the gods whether or not it keeps going out into the world. So one of the great things about being published by them with my last book is they really don't care. they're not like putting any pressure on me to promote the book, or, you know, it's like we launched it. We got a bunch of people to read it. Now the book, you know, it's like we pushed it out of the nest. It's up to the book to fly on its own. And I'm like, well, I might try to keep promoting it. And they're like, okay, fine, whatever, you know. So that's what those numbers are. It's like, I think your first job is to sell 1,000 copies, because then you figured out some marketing. You figured out how to get strangers to buy your book. And then your next job is to keep doing things until you get to 10,000 copies sold, because now you've given your book a shot. Enough people have read it that if it resonates, it will keep selling on its own.
You said something in there that 10,000 copies is the number that you need to start the word of mouth engine. I think that's my favorite sentence ever. I like that idea. I really can wrap my head around that one. Now, here's a question. That 10,000, is that within a particular time frame? Are you looking to launch with that many, you know, eventually? Or is that within a year, within the first couple of years? Does it matter?
I don't think it matters, because like this morning, I just sold a copy of Stephen King's 11/22/63, right? I was at jiu-jitsu and a guy was like asking me about my favorite, you know, what are you reading right now? I'm like, oh, I'm reading Needful Things by Stephen King. He's like, oh yeah, I've never really read Stephen King. And I said, okay, 11/22/63 is one of my favorite books ever. You should go buy a copy. He's like, I'm going to buy one as soon as I get out of class. Well, that book came out in 2011. I read it probably 4 or 5 years ago, and now I just sold a copy. Mm-hmm. Right? So book came out, let's see, I'm looking at it, 8.5 years ago. Took me a few years to read it. Then took me a lot of years to tell this guy about it. Now he's going to read it sometime in the next month. And he might wait 3 more years to tell somebody about it. That's how book marketing works. So I don't think it matters. I think you could come out with a book, not do anything, 10 years later, start promoting it, sell 10,000 copies, and now it'll work. Unless you wrote about, like, I don't know, the Trump presidency or something, right? Something that will, God help us, eventually end. You know, unless it's some kind of timely thing that just won't be interesting after a certain date, like people that wrote books about the Y2K bug. It didn't matter how many books they sold after Y2K, nobody would ever buy that again. So barring anything like that, but of course you want to sell your book as fast as it can. So I just ran a launch. The book came out last week and we sold somewhere north of 10,000 between the pre-orders and the first week of sales. We broke well over 10,000 copies in the first week. So that's great. Most books don't do that. For your first 1,000 copies, it took me a year to sell 10,000 copies. It'll probably take me about a year to sell 10,000 copies of Running Down a Dream. So I don't think it matters. I'm more interested in, did you sell copies last week? Did you sell copies this week? Are you going to sell copies next week? Because what I see with a lot of people that do huge launches and they sell 10,000 copies of their book is they just stop after that. So I'm more interested in like continuing to put the book out into the world, but I don't think it matters because books just take a long time to be promoted because they take a long time to read and, you know, it just takes a long time to tell other people about the book. You know about your first 1,000 copies and you've probably sold copies for me over the last several years, but mm-hmm. It's like you meet an author, you have a conversation, oh, you should read this book. Well, I came out with that book in 2013. So if somebody's hearing about the book for the first time on this podcast and they go buy a copy, that took me 6 years to sell them a copy of the book. So I feel like it's always the long game with books because they just, and that's what I love about books is like, if they don't work, if they don't sell the first month, you know, a movie, if that sucker doesn't hit the first month, it doesn't matter. It's like goes in the trash bin where books like last forever.
So I can build, if I'm looking at Masquerade, the book that I have out now, I can build on the sales I've already made from that. I'm not really starting from scratch in terms of sales right now with this, now that I'm focused on actually doing outreach and promotion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I don't think that's happy news.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, you told me before we started recording that you've had people emailing you wanting you to finish the series. That's a good sign. So I think, yeah, like, because people ask me all the time, like, what if your book's been out 3 years? Can you run a launch again? And I'm like, yeah, like, there's, you know, sure, there's no reason mm-hmm. you can't. You know, I still get interviewed on podcasts where people want to talk to me about your first 1,000 copies and my other one, Book Launch Blueprint. And so people listen to those and they go buy a copy because it's the first they've heard of it. So I look at just, you know, keep going. Until, like, I tell an author, you can stop once you've sold 10,000 copies. Otherwise, you should keep going.
So Masquerade right now is entirely digital.
Uh-huh.
My plan is to, in the fall, come out with a print version, hardback and paperback.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter the format, right? It's 10,000 together.
Yeah. So Sean and Steve, their theory is you need 10,000 people to read your book.
Okay.
So they don't think it matters if people buy it or not. What I found is people tend to not read books that they get for free unless, like, you know, outlying situations. Like, I gave John Acuff a copy and because he's a friend of mine, he read the book, right? Or I send 100 copies to fans with the explicit direction of read the book and leave a review. Otherwise, when people get books for free, they tend not to read them, in my opinion.
Right. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and I heard the phrase Kindle stuffing one time, and
yes.
It's exactly what it, like, I completely understand what that is, and I'm guilty of it myself.
Yes.
And it just sort of sits there on your Kindle, and you forget about it because you haven't invested anything whatsoever in it, not even a quarter.
Right. Yeah. Michael Bunker, another author, first used that, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's a great term for it. Because, see, that was huge. So when Kindles first came out, people probably like you and me bought them, right? I don't know. Mm-hmm. And you had this, and it was kind of clunky, and you were on the cutting edge. My first Kindle was a Kindle 2, right? So it was the second version of the Kindle. So a long time ago. And there weren't a lot of titles on it, right? This is when they were still fighting with publishing and they were really expensive or just not available on the Kindle. And then you had all these self-published authors kind of coming onto the scenes and publish. That's when serializing your novel became really popular. Like Hugh Howey was probably the first one, like really strongly successful with it. And all these people were coming out with books. And so people like you and me started just buying anything. Hey, it's 99 cents. What the hell? And we'd buy it. But then it became, as the market matured, we stopped doing that. We started buying books that we would actually read because we realized we bought, you know, 50 books and read 3 of them. And so early on, there was kind of this gold rush with self-publishing of literally all you had to do was come out with a book and it would start selling. Because all right. these people had Kindles and there wasn't a lot of options for books available. And the idea of getting a book for 99 cents was just so tantalizing to us readers that have been paying, you know, at least $8 or $9 for a book for their whole lives. But then that kind of passed, and now people, even if it's 99 cents, they're not going to buy it unless they think they're going to read it because they went through that a while ago. So I like to sell books because to me, it increases the likelihood that somebody's going to at least open that sucker up and try the first few pages. And that's what Sean means is he wants 10,000 people to give the book a try, to actually try to start reading it. And if it, you know, because his belief is like sometimes a book hits and sometimes it doesn't. It could be a really perfectly written book, but maybe it's the wrong time for the book, right? What was that? The Great Gatsby, right? Mm-hmm. Didn't hit for years. And it was because what finally made it hit is the army bought like however many copies and sent them to everybody that was out in I think it was World War II. And that's when it finally gained traction. But it had been out for years and years by that point. So, you know, Sean and Steve believe strongly in the muse in that sometimes you write a book and the universe and your muse just don't get along, you know? And then like there's books that like, if we're talking about genre, right? So I forgot, like somebody wanted to write a book that was like, I forgot. It was a mix of two genres that Sean and I were talking about. He said it was the most commercially unviable book, like mm-hmm. genre pick, right? Just like, you know, if you write poetry, you're probably never going to sell 100,000 copies of your poetry. You know what I mean? It's just the wrong time. And so there's certain genres that, you know, writing a Western right now is not going to work the way writing a thriller would, just because. So you could write the best Western on the planet. It probably is not going to sell as well as a mediocre thriller. So, but my thing is like, if you work hard on a book and you put it out into the world, try to get 10,000 people to buy that book, even for 99 cents, and then you get to see. And I believe that too many authors come out with their book. It doesn't sell very well for the first month. They get really embarrassed, so they stop promoting it, and then they never find out if the book, they never give the book a chance. It's like, to me, it's like, you know, it's like you give birth to this thing, this baby. It doesn't walk in the first month, and you're like, well, this one's fucked up. I'm just going to, you know. I mean, it's like, that's what it feels like, is like so many authors do that. It's, you know, because I'm like, the amount of pain I go through to produce a book, like I'm going to do everything I can to make it work. I'm not going to give up. You know, it's just, it is fascinating to me that I see authors that work on a book for 2 years, come out with it. It doesn't sell well immediately, and they just drop it and move on to writing the next book. And it just breaks my heart, you know? So that's kind of my thing is like, you know, if you don't know how to sell 1,000 copies, you should be first trying to learn marketing well enough to sell 1,000 copies. Then at that point, your goal is, how am I going to sell 10,000 copies? How am I going to take this thing I've built that sold the first 1,000 and get to the next 10?
But that includes, like, so for Masquerade, the first part is a free download from my site. people can, they're not paying money for that one, but they are paying an email address. So there is some sort of cost, and they have to actually go proactively to my site to get it. Mm-hmm. So I am thinking that the likelihood of those people at least opening the book and giving it a try is pretty high, because they had to actually work to get it.
Okay.
So in that case, do the free downloads count as part of that 10,000, or do I, in my mind, to totally separate them? Well, or am I splitting hairs?
Yeah, I mean, the 10,000 is just like, you want to make it to California, and I say, shoot for the Pacific Ocean, and you'll probably hit it. You know what I mean? Like, it's more, like, there is no magic to, like, if you sell 9,500 copies, or you get 9,500 readers, that it will probably work as well. You know, so it's right. More like I'm just keeping a rough number in my head of what I've pulled off. So let's say you sell 700 or 7,000 and you give away 5,000, you know, well, that's mm-hmm. like 12,000, but you know, some of those were giveaways. So that rounds to about 10,000. Like, it's more just like get a really big pile of people to give it a shot.
Right. Well, this is why that cross promotion that I tried like way back when did not work, because right. it was a numbers game and people were focused on the 10,000 rather than the fact that it's 10,000 people who actually read the book, who actually yeah. open the cover and give it a try. Because that's yeah. what you're looking for. People who read this genre to try your book. And if it's good enough, they'll tell someone, right?
Yeah, well, it's like these authors that band together and do like box sets of 12 books to hit the USA Today list or something.
Right.
It's like, well, you know, nobody's probably going to read your book. Like, just, you know, let's all be honest about what we're doing here. You know, mm-hmm. you're gaming a system so you can call yourself a USA Today bestseller, which is fine. I'm not passing a moral judgment on that. What I'm saying is, like, we both know nobody's going to read all 12 of those.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, like, lying to yourself about this is not helpful. So
right.
what you're trying to do is, can I honestly tell myself that 10,000 people have cracked the cover of this book and read the first page? If not, then I need to keep going. You see what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's the thing that I like about, well, I like a lot of stuff about this, but one of the things I like about this is that it gives you a target to shoot for, gives exactly. me a target to shoot for. So rather than it just being this foggy concept of, I got to try and sell something to somebody somewhere, somehow, right. you've got, like, when I have a goal in sight, I at least know the direction I'm going in.
Yeah.
Rather than just wandering around. So 10,000 books.
That's why I harp so much on email lists, right? Part of it is the truth that an email list is the best way to, you know, get your audience's attention and drive action. The other part is it cuts through all the bullshit of, like, you know, if mm-hmm. I Google right now book marketing, the first article underneath the ads that comes up is 119 book marketing ideas that can help authors increase sales. And it's like, there is so many things. I mean, if you read the article, it's even worse, because about 112 of those are a complete waste of time. But the worst part of it is now you have 119 things you're supposed to be doing. It's like, that is not helpful to anybody.
Right.
And so my thing is, it's like, have one goal. Build an email list. Now, that's your litmus test. If what you're doing is getting people on your email list, then you should do it. If what you're doing is not getting people on your email list, you probably shouldn't do it. So that, to me, and so it's the same thing with these sales numbers, is like, there is no magic in selling 1,000 copies. Your life is not, you're not going to wake up the day you sell your 1,000th copy and something has changed, you know, but it is an indicator that you are going in the right direction. Again, continuing to use the roadmap thing. Like, if you're heading to California and you started in New York and you find yourself in Illinois, that is an indicator that you're going in the correct direction, right? You mm-hmm. still haven't, like, nothing has changed. You're not where you want to be, but you're on the path. Where if you are 6 months into, quote, marketing your book and you've only sold 200 copies, you're doing something wrong, right? So that doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means what you're doing is not working. You need to find something else to do. And so, yeah, that's the kind of place I land with that.
All right. So I'm shooting for 10,000 copies in readers' hands. I can do that.
How many would you say you have now?
Oh, you asked me this before. I think it was something when I looked it up for you before, wasn't it something like 1,600? And I haven't looked since.
I don't remember.
I'm really bad at this. I don't like to look. I have to get in the habit of doing this. But I think it was around 1,600 when we started. And then I would have to check to see how many others have been sold since then. So I'm on the path. I just need to move further down it.
Okay. And then one thing that you could do when you're ready to really get cranking is start keeping track on a weekly basis. And how many books did I sell in the last week? Or how many new downloads did I get? Have both numbers. And
okay,
because it's like having a budget, or it's like getting on the scale every day, right?
God forbid.
Yeah. I mean, forcing yourself to do that is like, I have to face this thing now every day. Like I work with a nutritionist and I have to report my daily weight to him. So the first thing I do in the morning is I get up and I use the restroom and then I get on the scale. It's exactly the same every morning. And that forces me, like, now when I go to eat something, I'm like, well, I'm going to have to get on the scale in the morning and see the result of what I'm doing right now. So once you're like cranking on this thing, I think you should be looking at your numbers every week. So when I came out with your first 1,000 copies, you know, about 4 months in, I decided to start the 10,000 book challenge of trying to sell 10,000 copies in the first year my book was out. And every week I would send my sales figures to my email list. Now it's a little different because I was teaching book marketing, so it was relevant. People cared what I was selling as opposed to most people don't. But it was a way for me to hold myself accountable where each week I'm like, okay, what am I going to do? Because in a week I'm going to have to send out an email. And if it's like 3 sales, that's embarrassing. So I think like if, you know, you're finishing the last book in the series, you know, you've done 1,600, like if we're talking again a year from now and you've only sold 3,000, something's gone wrong.
Yeah. Most of those came in the beginning when I was actually doing things. And then I stopped marketing because I was just wandering around and I focused on the craft. So most of those came at the beginning and then there was a big lull. Mm-hmm. And when I say lull, I mean a flat line.
Yeah. I mean, but that's what we've been.
So now it's ramping back up, right?
Yeah. But I think holding yourself to looking at we should start a spreadsheet where each week before we get on the podcast, you have to fill in how many downloads you've had and how many books you've sold.
Okay.
And it's a way to hold me accountable because it's like if what I'm telling you and you're doing what I'm telling you and those numbers aren't going up, there's a problem.
Okay.
And I don't want to do this in theory, you know, I want to do this for real.
Right.
So I think it would be good, like when you kind of, because you're finishing Dracula, you've been updating your website, you're finishing the last book, you're kind of doing a lot of things in preparation. But this should turn into, hey, look, I'm selling more books.
Absolutely. I like to sell books. I like money.
Yeah.
I'm pro money. Let's get more money.
Yeah.
All right. So that sounds like homework. I'll get a spreadsheet set up and we'll just start filling the puppy in.
All right. That sounds good.
Thank you, Tim.
All right. Thanks, Valerie. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Book Launch Show. For all the past episodes, the show notes, or to connect with me, you can go to booklaunchshow.com. I have dozens of free book marketing resources and articles that you can access at my website, booklaunch.com. Lastly, if you'd like to support the show, you can do that by telling another author about the show and by visiting us on Apple Podcasts and leaving a rating and review. Thanks for subscribing and being a part of our work here at booklaunch.com. We will see you next week.